That would have been really bad because those that takes you got to be down there a long time. Baptist, the history of Baptist, John T. Christian, page 92. Something was read. An enemy of the New Testament church writes about these Anabaptists, claim that the true church is found nowhere except among themselves alone and their congregations, since with them alone remains the true understanding of the scriptures. So that was like 500 years ago. Okay, so one of the things, maybe, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, that we lack the confidence, or maybe there's some new converts lack the confidence of, well, are we really sure? When we look at history and we look at historical records and we see the writings of the enemies of our brethren, and they will confess that they had greater understandings of the scripture. They were always on the fringes. They had this secession. They taught you can rattle the chain. This is not new stuff ever. This is what the true New Testament churches have always stood for. The sole authority of God is in the scripture, and it's according to his way. However it was determined by the enemy that they behaved, they were behaving as it was delivered to them. And when you fast forward to today, our churches look the same, because that's how it was delivered to us. The same way it was delivered to them, that was delivered to them, that was delivered to them when Jesus gave them that doctrine. And it was once delivered unto the saints. Do you think they studied their Bible? Do you think they analyzed the scripture? Maybe rightly dividing. Well, they had to, because that's what the scripture tells them to do. So I just want to get right into it. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 28, along with Brother Cooper's class, these fundamental things that we need to know about rightly dividing, analyzing the scripture, is it belongs to God. It's not man's. It is God's. And to a frustrating level, you're going to have to deal with this with much patience and long suffering at Bible studies, preaching, teaching, whatever it is, that the Word of God is the Word of God. It is not from the mind of man. God used men to pen it, but our intellect, our thoughts, our ideologies are not included here. We have God giving us a record of people saying things. We have a record of Satan saying things. We have a record of angels saying things. We have a record of men and women saying. We have a record of a donkey saying a couple of things. All right? God doesn't lie. God gives us the truth. It's God's way. When we get into commandments of men, philosophies of men, religions of men, it's not God. Amen. And God even showcases that in the scripture, the way men go off the rails, and it sounds ridiculous. Throwing your children to the fires of Molech. Come on, that's ridiculous. That's what they did, though. It wasn't from God. So let's see, Brother Alex. I have like 17 verses, 15. I'm just going to have you read them all. You're doing good tonight. So Exodus chapter 4, verse 28, if you would, please.
Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, all the signs which he had commanded him.
All right, so Moses told Aaron what?
The words of the Lord.
Okay. Did he add anything to that? Is there a record here given to us that Moses maybe seasoned God's word with a little bit of entertainment, maybe to make it a little more attractive, a little more palatable? No, he just said all the words of the Lord, and that's what he did. Exodus 19, verse number 7. I don't know what he said. Is that what you asked me? I have no idea what he said. Oh, what did I say? Oh. I mean, I was listening to him. I thought you were Exodus 19, Verse number 7. Brother Alex, if you could read that one for us, please.
And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded.
So what did Moses lay before their faces? Okay, so again, I know it's cliche or redundant. What should we then lay before the faces of the people? All right. And we have Deuteronomy, don't take away, don't add. Revelation, don't take away, don't add. Don't try to give your spin to it, just give it. And listen, these are conversations that my wife and I have all the time. We are together as a team. We do a lot of Bible studies, and sometimes we go away from those Bible studies, and we have to look at each other and say, just give them the word, just give them the word, just give them the word. You know, because we all have tendencies, and we all have these emotions, and we all have thought, man, I got to figure out a way to change this person. We got to get them. No, you can't. Just got to give them the word. Why? Because it's God's. It's not Moses. It was God that said that. Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 28. Sister Katie. See what happens when you assume? See? I Brother Alex, I love your enthusiasm. I'm not sure why everybody else isn't as enthusiastic as you are. It's a great night tonight.
Guess I'm awake.
You are. Sip too much coffee. Hydrate before you go to the altar of prayer. I'm just saying. Sister Katie, if you could read chapter 34, verse 28.
Drink water, and he wrote the tables of wood, 10 commandments.
All right, thank you very much. And so, what's that?
No hydration.
No. That's a great point. Let's see how many of us can get through that for 40 days and 40 nights. So what did he write on the tables?
Commandments.
Okay, the words of the covenant, 10 commandments. So this is how many, I don't even know how to ask this. First or second time on the mountain here? Second time. Why?
For when they sin,
it'd be right there.
Okay, that was a really bad answer. Because the first time, God wrote them.
Yeah, God wrote them each time. Oh, yeah, fingerprint of God.
Wow. What? So the first time, and I still get blown away by God. How cool is that? God wrote them down. And sometimes we struggle with this. I know that we have contention about, we have the word, and I guess, how am I trying to say this? If you don't know, kind of like what Brother Dale is going over with some of this, like this Augustine guy. Well, those were some errors. Well, how do you know? Let's just walk it back, and just with innocence, how do you know that was an error in the scripture? Was there another standard? Was there another writing? Was there something that we can compare to say that that was an error? Or was it this up here? Okay. God wrote him down. What does he want for us? A written word. He wants it written. I get all excited. Deuteronomy 17, 18 and 19. Tell the kings to write a copy of the law. Write it down. God gave us a written word, not mankind. God gave us that. Moses threw him on the ground because he got mad. I would have done that too. I would have thrown it at him. And I would have missed because I'm not that good at throwing stuff accurately.
They were probably heavy.
They might have been a little heavy. They were stones. But he had Moses write them down. What was Moses supposed to write down?
The words of God.
Okay, because we can look at Ezekiel, we can look at Isaiah, we can look at Jeremiah. What God said, that's what Moses wrote down. So then what do we call that? In 2 Timothy 3:16, yes. It's old, Brother Mike. It's an old word. It's an old thing. I'm still a little bit shocked on how advanced we are as a society. Old stuff, just we don't understand anymore. We don't use it anymore. Dictation. Struggling over. You're struggling, aren't you?
Dictatorship. I was like, it's wrong.
Dictatorship.
It's so wrong.
Oh, yeah. Was that a meme that you... Something in Instagram?
No.
So, I know I'm being ornery here, but man, sometimes we get tired of the fight. It was dictation. That's it. There was no other way that we ended up with the Word of God, except for God said, these are my words, write them down. And do we for one second think that God compromised on what a man would write down is not exactly what God said? Run, run. You're going to get whooped if you don't run. I told you to run. Goodness grief. But I knew it was coming. I'm the watchman.
For whose side?
Poor little guy. Anyways. Yeah. Well, I'm not that fast. I couldn't step in the middle. There you go. I just had to warm. It's not by inspiration. It's not by whatever other theories that are out there that God allowed man to add a little bit of his own intentions to it. If we don't look at a sunset and come up with God's doctrine, that's not the inspired word of God. Superintendent, God didn't step back and make sure that we stayed in our lane as we wrote whatever we wanted to. I guess it's this circle of you can't get out of it. If you trust the Bible as the Word of God, you trust what it says about itself, and that's what you stick with. And the things that we understand and read and we anchor our soul in, the truths of God, to point us to the way of a marriage in heaven, how could there be any compromise? How could there be any inclusion in man's ideas and then claim that it's God's way? How can we do that? Well, we can't. Because God's not the author of confusion, and he has everything done decently in order. Man was not, our ideas, not included in the scripture. Does everybody believe that? Because I'm seeing some faces like, maybe not.
I'm wondering how some of these people can say, yes, this is the word of God, but we're not going to use this part, because it either is or isn't.
I have the same. Yeah.
Why do they even continue to use it if they don't think they're not going to believe the whole thing?
Well, I go to was it Isaiah 4, 7 women? Is that it? Isaiah 4, 7 women grab a hold of one man, or they take hold of one man. We will eat our own bread, we will wear our own clothes, but we'll take your name to cover our reproach. They hide behind using the so-called Bible. We have these conversations about, well, tell me why New King James, tell me why the NIV, what's wrong with these that we can't use? And the first question that I always ask them is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they say, absolutely. And I said, well, tell me how that happened. And they would tell me, and if it's a good testimony of trusting by faith and repenting of sins, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and that rose again, and then you hit him with, the thief on the cross called him Lord. What did the thief on the cross recognize Jesus as? God. And they say, so do I. And I say, but those books that you're using don't. I don't call it Bible, brother. I call it a book.
Yep. Amen.
So the books don't. And they're like, oh. Because it's the same problem that we have in the New Testament church. How much do people really pay attention when they read stuff? Or is it just a feel-good religious thing? I have my Bible and... Brother Dale, you got me on this. I smack my gum while I'm reading Psalms every morning. But that's not what we're taught here. We're taught here to analyze. Hello? Was that my alarm?
I can't finish.
Got him.
You work well. Paisley's doing gymnastics over here already. That was a triple gainer. What was it? Double sow cow just now? So if we trust the record that Jesus Christ saved us according to the gospel, and then we read in 1 Corinthians 15, that is the death of Jesus Christ according to the scripture, his burial and resurrection according to the scripture, then what about the rest of it? Man's idea? Only just the salvation part? So it's always a constant struggle to keep people's minds narrowed and focused on everything in here is God's mind. He's telling us about us. There's no apologies about who we are, where we came from, where we're going, who he is, what his purpose is, what he did for us, who Satan is, and what his purpose is. And it's the straight truth. I don't know why this is an anthem for religion, yet they don't know anything about it. And some of the coolest stuff you read in the gospel is Jesus saying, you do err, not knowing the scripture. And he focuses on what's written there. You know, and we can't help but to think, you know, we're in this time we'll let Brother Bo, I'll get on a soapbox here about our time of year that we're in. Brother Bo.
I'll defer my time.
So we take advantage of this time of year to start emphasizing, you know, John the Baptist, Zachariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, the birth of Christ was not December 25th, one of the most paganistic, disgusting, repulsive, abhorrent day in the history of mankind, that the Catholic Church chose to shove down all of our throats and make it a holiday. And because we get the day off, we celebrate the birth of Christ. It did not happen on December 25th. It's an abhorrent day. That said, did Zachariah, did he understand scripture?
Mm-hmm.
What about Elizabeth?
Yes.
How about Simeon? I mean, I get chills thinking about Simeon. Did he know scripture? What? Yeah, they knew he quoted scripture. They knew scripture. They knew Bible. They knew it as the word of God. They knew it and they trusted it as the truth of God. They anticipated. They anchored their soul in it. Why is it different today? Because we've religified everything. We've allowed humanism to take over. And it is, you know, I'm not willing to go down the road to say, well, all these other religions don't know how to rightly divide the scripture. They don't have the Holy Spirit as comforter. So it doesn't matter. There is no rightly dividing. There is no Bible analysis outside of a New Testament church. So if you're a member of a New Testament church, that's the standard that God expects out of you, each and every member, to rightly divide and analyze his word. Because we're supposed to live by it. It's our duty. It's our commandments. And in order to do that, we've got to understand it. We have to know its workings in and out, Sister Rhonda.
The work that we've been doing together with Adam and Eve, and that is casting doubt on the word of God.
Yeah.
And where we are today is that we are 6,000 years further down the road where he has continued his work of casting
doubt on
the word of God.
Yep.
And has allowed these perversions to cause people to not even know if we have the word of God.
Yeah, anymore. Amen. And that right there, but this is the problem that we have. If you're a Landmark Missionary Baptist, you know and you are of a surety that we have the word of truth. So we don't doubt. But I think some of us do. And we've been bringing that up a lot recently is, do you trust the let God have it, lean on him, trust his word, don't lean to yourself, don't listen to your heart, don't listen to your mind, listen to the word of God, study it, put it on, consume it, exercise it. Do you trust that will get you through death, that will get you through financial failure, that will get you through wrecks and brokenness and disasters? Do you trust that it will? Because he says he would. So maybe we don't trust it as well.
Well, I think we get bored with the word of God. Mm-hmm. We don't. I don't want to admit that, but God people get bored with the word of God. Yep. Preachers get bored with the word of God. And I've said this, I've shared this, but you know, I still have motivation, whatever. I would say a lot of preachers would, but I don't know. But I know I'm always like, oh, what's something new? How can I bring this out in a different way? What's a different? And you know, we don't need stories.
Yeah.
We don't need. I don't need to hear your personal experiences unless they identify with Christ. And when I go to a youth rally, I want to hear scriptures.
Amen.
When I go to a church, I want to hear scripture. Mm-hmm. But we get bored, and preachers sometimes we think, well, I gotta come up with a new way to preach. The word's been around since eternity, and how many preachers have preached on salvation?
Yeah.
How many messages have been preached on the bride? How many messages have been preached on what to do if I am going through hard times in my life? There's been countless messages on that.
And for sure.
God recorded his words in here for me to share with people who are going through X, Y, and Z, and mm-hmm. for me to share with people who are lost. I'm not going to come up with something new.
Yep.
I'm not going to. And so what if people are poor? And that's their problem.
Yeah.
You know, he told Timothy, he said, time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe some of the young preachers, maybe you think this, I don't know, I thought it. I still sometimes preach on this a lot, or people have been hearing this for a long time. Jesus, preach the word.
Amen.
I shared
Amen.
This with the church a couple weeks ago. Brother Appy, so he was a preacher for a while. He preached at church camp, or no, he preached at a youth rally that Medford held at camp. And it was like a 15-minute message,
mm-hmm.
and he was so nervous, and you could hardly understand him, but all he did was read scripture.
Amen. Yeah.
And I remember that still, like, his sincerity in reading the scripture.
Yeah.
And it was, when we say, oh, that was a good message, but that was a great message. I don't remember a word that he said aside from the verses he read for 15 minutes.
Amen.
That's all it takes.
So that, it's funny you should bring that up. So, oh, how love I thy stories. Oh, how love I thy books. Oh, how love I thy word. But what does he say? Law. All right. So now I know we're streaming here on the interwebs, so I won't mention the individual's name, but I had a phone conversation with somebody that was struggling with, I just don't have that spark to read. Like, nothing's getting me, like, excited. I said, well, what are you, are you looking for an, are you looking to be entertained? What, why do we read? Well, God doesn't say to read. He says study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. So why do we read? It's a law. Now, I don't know about you, but any law book is not necessarily, unless, of course, it's the hunting regulations for some. They drool over that thing as they're reading it. It's a law. It's a law so that we know where the boundaries are, that we may please the lawmaker. It's not designed to entertain you. It's not designed to tickle you or to scratch that itch. It's designed to keep you in line with God, that spiritually you may still be in peace with him, because he is the judge. So that's our approach to Bible study. Sometimes it's dry and systematic and legalistic, which, by the way, there for a long time I just, legalistic. Now when they call me legalistic, I say, yeah. It's the law. I don't understand what you're coming at. Are we afraid to toe the mark and walk that line of God's law? and not be entertained by it. But to know in our spirit we love him and we know what he did for us, there is joy set before him, but in the flesh there was no entertainment there. Right? He was brutalized. So we look at the law and we don't worry about it. It's the law of God. It's not about stories. It's not about feeling good or having fun. It's about pleasing God who created us for him, that he might have a friend to walk with. And that's what we're trying to be, his friends. Deuteronomy chapter 4 here. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's see. Brother Carter. Oh, no, wait. Never mind.
Oh, just kidding.
Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse number 2. Sister Charity, could you read that one for us?
You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish off from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
All right, so what are we not to do with the commandments of the Lord?
To or take away.
Add or take away. Don't change them. And whose commandments are they? God's, okay? Moses said, I command you to follow the commandments of the Lord. So even though you are commanding, even though you are taking that oversight, even though you are assertive and aggressive, it's still not your commandments, it's God's. Brother Jacob.
But the way that God puts it here, you cannot keep the commandments of God if you add or take away from
you. You cannot.
These, whether it's another version of the Bible or me putting my interpretation, I have remove the ability to keep God's commands.
Yes. Yes. And I tell you what, and it's such a cool thing to listen to history. That's why, why did Cain kill Abel? Because he didn't change the commandments. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to follow the commandments. And frustratingly, through history, Landmark Missionary Baptist churches, New Testament churches, would stand on the as it is written, and wouldn't compromise, because that's the commandment of God, while mankind is going rampant at changing mankind. And it is so convicting and it is so frustrating for them that why won't you just listen? I'm going to tear the skin off your body if you don't. Where, at what point did God and Jesus and his church say, listen, if they don't, I'm going to send you into the cities. And if they don't listen to you, draw the sword, start taking heads. Until they listen to you. Did he ever say that? Why is it that men get so angry with you pesky little Baptists?
True.
Because we don't take away and we don't add. It's the commandment of God. And we can't follow the commandments lest we follow the commandments.
I love about that very quickly. When you realize you can't win against God and neither can they. And if you're standing on the word of God, all you're doing is preaching the word of God, then they are fighting against God, and they are running up against a wall, and they are hitting their head, and they can't move.
For sure.
It's not you, you're standing. You're
for sure.
Presenting the word of God. Sure. They find they cannot win.
Yeah.
And so they have to resort to some kind of physical altercation.
Amen. Because
there is no winning.
Yeah.
For giving up.
In opposition.
Listen, brother, most of us have the big stack. The big stack of history here in Oregon. Big, it's getting bigger. Big stack. One of those letters written by a pastor of a church on church letterhead threatened to sue brethren if they don't cease and desist.
Wow.
Okay, listen, they're just throwing out Bible. You don't want to follow the Bible. That's your problem. But you're going to sue them because they're putting out Bible? Are you guys willing to stand for that? Are you guys willing to get into the scripture, know it, stand on it, don't move, don't compromise, just keep preaching and teaching? You know, one thing that we're realizing over there in Prineville is that there are some brethren that are grounded and settled in the Lord. And there are some people that just keep that door swinging. It's in and out, it's in and out, in and out. You ever watch those time-lapse videos? And you got 10 or 12 people not moving, and you got 1,000 of them just buzzing around. Okay, there's a few that are just going to take the word and stand on it. And that's it. We're not moving. It takes that pastor to be able to go out on the forefront of those war lines, those battlefields, stand on that truth and preach and teach and not get cute with God's word. Not get cute with your position. Just preach the word. Brother Jared and Brother Reagan.
Makes you think of Acts 5:38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even fight against God.
Amen.
It's not about us, because if it was us, we would lose. It's about God, because they're not fighting against us, they're fighting against God, and God doesn't lose.
And that's a truth and a reality, and all those guys kept fighting against God. Okay? Cornelius knew that. Is that Gamaliel?
Gamaliel.
Gamaliel knew that. But what do those guys keep doing? Fight. They kept fighting against God. So there is acceptance, recognition, but it's not going to change the world that we're living in.
Next chapter, we'll vote on knowing against Stephen.
Yeah, exactly.
How many men? Don't know how many. They could not stand the word of God.
What a rage. I mean, homicidal.
We get to the end of the chapter, right? So chapter 7, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Takes them to read all that. He just gave them the word.
Yeah.
And they just.
Yep.
They're pretty.
The history.
Crazy. For the ring.
Matthew 10:35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter in law against her mother in law. And I'm missing the verse above, which I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The word of God naturally is going to divide. You and I don't have to do the dividing, it's going to. But are we afraid to do that? Are we afraid to say, you know what? This is what the word says. And if you guys have that burn and that fire and that zeal, that willingness to contend for faith, what happens when you're in the midst of people and somebody tries to be religious and vomits out a bunch of ignorance? What are you going to do? Well, I'm not going to die on this hill. I'll go get me a drink of water, and maybe everybody will disperse. Or are you going to stand up for Jesus Christ and preach truth? You know how to do it. Where's your wisdom? Well, Scripture says, and quote the Scripture, stand up for God. You got a brethren that says, well, this everybody that saves got the Spirit. The Spirit of promise, brother, yes. Not the Spirit of guidance. Not the Spirit of learning and teaching and advocacy and comfort. And then the big fight ensues. What are you going to do? It's in the middle of a church meeting. What are you going to do when some guy comes in and tells you, you're all washed up teaching the bride's only the church. All those that are saved are in the bride. What are you going to do? Well, my friend, now's not the time. Know the Bible and stand up for God and teach it and preach it. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, Brother Christian.
I think about 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then that strikes and suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times we're not going to be liked in this world.
Nope.
We're actually going to be hated,
as
Christ said. And I think about that time at Facebook.
Mm.
Within their laws, within the writing of what I had to sign, you cannot convert somebody. You can talk about religion and everything, but you can't convert somebody. And one day I had some Latter-day Saint Corman talk to me, and we went over plenty of verses, and he says, are you trying to convert me? And I was like, look, man, I thought we were talking about Scripture.
Yeah, you know? There you go. So bring it back around. If you're going to analyze the Bible and like literally dissect this scientific method of studying to understand what God's mind is, taking apart, putting together, if you're going to do that, then it's for a purpose. People are not going to like you very much when you say, well, Scripture says, you got to be right about everything. No, I'm wrong about everything. But the Bible says, and here's the verse, and bust out your phone and show it to them. So you see, it's not my, I didn't come up with, here it is. That's the Bible. Well, my Bible doesn't say that. Keep talking. keep talking, because we understand why their Bible doesn't say that. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, Sister Julianne. If you could read that, please.
Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it.
All right. Is God serious about that? Do what he says. I just came. Parents with older, you ever told your child to go do something, to do something different? Just do what I told you. Why did you do that? What's their answer?
Because.
So that's a new, because.
I thought you'd been.
It's not in my case.
I usually said, I don't know. That's what I usually, I remember. I don't know. Well, what'd you do? Why'd you do that? I don't know.
I didn't hear you right.
Oh, too. I was this close and you're looking in my eyes. You heard me. Austin would go. And he wouldn't say nothing. Just Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Brother Casey, sorry, I couldn't see you. Brother Casey, would you like to read that one? Chapter 18, verse 18, please, sir.
Thank you.
I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command.
Oh, boy. Doesn't that sound a little bit like Jesus saying that he only spoke the things that the Father gave him to speak? So, thank you for standing. That was quite respectful and honorable.
Yes,
ma'am. So,
I'd be on the floor.
Put words in my mouth. He said that. God wrote that about several other prophets, that he put his words in their mouth. David, even in the writing, if we say David confessed, the Spirit through David wrote that the Spirit put words in his mouth. Other versions will remove those things to indicate or influence you, thinking that maybe man has, what would be the purpose of pushing man and his intellect was allowed to write the scripture?
Change.
Okay. I have the same intellect. I'm telling you, there's some cool reading about baptizing for the dead off of the Mormon's own website, and how you can just feel the tension between Brigham and Joseph. And the statement of Brigham Young, when Joseph died, he didn't know everything. You don't think there were some issues there? So Brigham was going to change some stuff. That's what happens when we say man can write things. Man can't write anything. God wrote it all. It's all God's. Everything about it. And we're not supposed to change any of it. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. It's Colton, kind of. Did he not? Does he want to read? He can't read. School's late. He's just smiling. He's like, yeah. Boy, you got a heater out in that barn? No, the horses? Oh, it should be cozy. All right, Brother Bo, if you could read verse 24, please.
18:20.
Yes, sir.
But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
All right. So again, so how does God feel about adding your 2 cents? You're going to die. Yeah. I mean, that's because what is the effect of adding your 2 cents? It's death. It really is. It's death. And that's, I mean, with some of this stuff we play around with, and it's jokeable. But why was it that the priest, when they failed to do God's order, they died?
God said do it one way and they did the other.
Because, yeah, it's deadly to do things outside of God's order. What does it lead to? What does man's way lead to?
Death.
Yeah, so it's so every way of man, which is a multiplicity, they're all dead. But there's only one way of God that's life. So we start changing things, we add death.
Brother Daniel. This direction popped my head. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talks about an unforgivable sin. And that was the time that their word of God was not yet complete. And so it tells you, till then,
yeah,
when that guy speaks by the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
you're not talking against it.
Yeah.
But boy, it was like waiting for that word to be done.
Yep. Yeah.
Because that's where the power is.
Yeah. We know that thou art a teacher from God because of the miracles. The teacher from God. Words of life. Important that we stick with the words of life. I'll skip down through a couple. Jeremiah 1, verse 9, and then we'll hit 2 Peter. And then maybe just real quick, some definitions, just real quick. Jeremiah 1. Verse 9. Sister Leslie, if you can read that one for us.
Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thine mouth.
All right. So again, not superintendent, but dictation. Not inspiration, but dictation. Not any other thing that we come up with, but God breathed. It was his words. And
inspiration's in the Bible.
The inspiration, maybe it's ideation, but like I see a sunset and I'm inspired to write. Like my dad taught me about the stars at night, I was inspired to write a poem about my love's teeth. They're like the stars. They come out at night. That's inspiration. Oh, there's stuff about the eyes and the nose and the ears. So is that what it's called, ideation?
Yeah.
So the inspiration in the Bible is different than the inspiration that we talk about today, where things move us emotionally to write things. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 9.
You want me to read it again?
Nope. 2 Peter chapter 1. I got all flustered with this, with the rhymes of soliloquies to my love. Wow. Elijah?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, all you brothers look alike. Brother Elijah, yeah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
All right. Thank you very much. And, you know, much like religion kind of butchers terms today, as a New Testament church member, we understand what a holy man is. Religion does not. Does God just use anybody that claims to be holy or has on special clothes or is part of something big? So who was Jeremiah? I will put my words in your mouth and I'm going to send you to nations. Who was Jeremiah? He was a holy man. And what do we know about holy men? Their hearts were submitted and given over to God in humility. Not my will, but thine be done. That's who God uses. God used hens, if you will. I don't even know if I'm comfortable with that. But God used men that were and did write down the very word of God. They preached it. They wrote it down. They passed it on. Is God able, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, 7, 8, something like that? Is God able to preserve that way? Is God able to tell Jeremiah, write it down, and then have it slashed with a penknife and thrown in the fire? And then God say, write it down.
That's a thing.
He's the only one that can add the plagues. God told the king, you write down the law. Are we sure that he wrote it down right? Yeah. Because whatever's under glass over there across the sea that they use to translate the King James, that's not the original autograph. It's pretty old, some of them are, but it's not from the hand of Moses. So where did we get it? From people writing it. Is God able to preserve that? Do we doubt that we have the Word of God preserved throughout all these ages, just like God told him to write it down? Do we doubt that? Because if God can't do that, he certainly can't save your soul. I mean, that's just, that's that simple. If God can't preserve some writings for us without error so that we can serve and follow him, then he can't save your soul. So we need to quit the games and just say, this is it. So then when we analyze and we rightly divide, we're analyzing and rightly dividing the scripture, not commentary, not books, not what we find on Wikipedia. It's pretty good most of the time. I've tried it out. Brother Jacob's bout got me convinced for AI. I guess the best one is what? Chat GPT?
I don't
know. he's not willing to get it.
Probably write
the message. Oh, we can. We're going to know, by the way, who's pulling up AI for their messages. We're going to know that. Because a lot of us are from the old school. We just read the scripture, and we know there's going to be some fallacies in those AI things. So anyhow, again, Bible analysis, it's a scientific method. So it takes order. It takes concentration. It takes doing it the same way every single time. Having that formula in hand, conditioning the heart and mind to approach the scripture the same way. You got to know the books. You got to spend time in them. Understand what Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through. What are they about in general sense? The Bible, this library, is not put together for you to read from Genesis to Revelation in a year. If that's what you want to do, fine, but that's not your Bible study and that's not your Bible analysis. If it anything, it's giving you a little bit of working knowledge and kind of what's going on, but that's not how you study. You study per subject. You study by reading, digging it out, writing notes, memorizing, meditating, concentrating, praying, and keep going back and forth and back and forth. Bible's going to harmonize. If it teaches one thing in one area, it's going to teach it in another area. We'll save the rest for tomorrow. I understand the pressure. I feel so pressured. Feel the pressure. So we are going to do, I'm hoping to get started on a Bible analysis exercise on miracles. This seems to be a low-hanging fruit that I believe, does anybody in here believe that miracles are in operation today? Please raise your hand. Brother Dale. All right.
It's not God.
Listen, all you guys.
Miracles are done away with.
Thank you. Miracles are done away with. Why? How do you know that?
Because the Bible says.
There you go. Yeah, but.
That's the answer to every question.
It is the answer to every question. Bible says so. All right. Let's all stand.